Jasodanandana braja janaranjana Jasodanandana braja janaranjana Jamunatira manachari Jamunatira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Padivajakacharya, Asatara Satashishiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti, Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nitya Ananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath, Shyamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mathura Dham ki jai, Jagannath Swami ki jai, Jamuna Mai ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This isn't the right book. This is starts with chapter 20, we're on chapter 13, so it must be a different book.
Great.
Must be 3:1.
That's a good start.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Thanks. Vasudevaya. I thought that was the Gita. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayat. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati utamashloke Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. So now that I have the right book, Hare Krishna, we're reading from the third canto. We're on chapter 13. The chapter 13 is appearance of Lord Varaha, as I'm sure you're well aware of. We're on text number 39. Om Agina Timidandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksur Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I'm totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada and beg for service life after life after life after life. Hare Krishna. So text 39. Namo namaste kila mantra devata. Namo namaste kila mantra devata. Dravyaya sarva kratave kriyatmane. Dravyaya sarva kratave kriyatmane. Vairagya bhaktyatma jayanubhavita. Vairagya bhaktya atma jayan ubhavita. Gyanaya vidya gurave namo namaha. Gyanaya vidya gurave namo namaha. Namo namaste kila mantra devata. Dravyaya sarva kratave kriyatmane. Vairagya bhaktyat maya ma jayanubhavita. Yanaya vidya gorave namo namaha. Please chant. Namo namaste kila mantra devata. Dravyaya sarva kratave kriyatmane. Vairagya bhaktyatma jayanubhavita. Gyanaya vidya gurave namo namaha. Namo namaste kila mantra devata. Dravyaya sarva kratave kriyatmane. Vairagya bhaktyatma jayanubhavita. Yanaya vidya gurave namo namaha. Namo. Dravyaya sarva kratave kriyatmane. Vairagya bhaktyat majayanubhavita. Gyanaya vidya gurave namo namaha. Namo namaste kila mantra devata. Dravyaya sarva kratave kriyatmane. Vairagya bhaktyat majayanubhavita. Gyanaya vidya gurave namo namaha. Namo namaste kila mantra devita. Dravyaya sarva kratave kriyatmane. Vairagya pratyatma jayanubhavita. Raya. Ve namo namaha. Nama nama. Obeisances unto you. Te. Unto you who are worshipable. Akila. All inclusive. Mantra. Hymns. Devata. The Supreme Lord. Dravyaya. Unto all ingredients for performing sacrifices. Sarva kratave, unto all kinds of sacrifices. Kriya atmane, unto you, the supreme form of all sacrifice. Vairagya, renunciation. Bhaktya, by devotional service. Atmajaya anubhavita. Perceivable by conquering the mind. Janaya, such knowledge. Vidya Gaurave, the supreme spiritual master of all knowledge. Nama Namaha, again I offer my respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. So these are the sages speaking. This is after Varaha has appeared and they're offering different prayers to Lord Varaha and glorifying Lord Varaha. And here they're saying, O Lord, you are the supreme personality of Godhead and are worshipable by all universal prayers, Vedic hymns, and sacrificial ingredients. We offer our obeisances unto you. You can be realized by the pure mind free from all visible and invisible material contamination. We offer our respectful obeisances to you as the supreme spiritual master of knowledge in devotional service. So you want to say it together? Okay. That together means together, okay? So don't anybody run ahead, all right? O Lord, you are the supreme personality of Godhead and are worshipable by universal prayers, Vedic hymns, and sacrificial ingredients. We offer our obeisances unto you. You can be realized by the pure mind, freed from all visible and invisible material contamination. We offer our respectful obeisances to you as the supreme spiritual master of knowledge in devotional service. So if you remember in the previous verses, particularly here in this verse, it says, you are the supreme personality of Godhead and are worshipable by universal prayers, which they're offering, Vedic hymns, and sacrificial ingredients. So in the previous verses, it was explaining how Lord Varaha's different parts of his body are different areas of sacrifice for the Lord, some quite difficult to understand the connection between them, but how his different parts of his bodies are all geared towards sacrificial ingredients. And Prabhupada's going to explain in the purport that the goal of all understanding all of those things is to understand that Krishna is a person. Okay, so here goes the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The qualification of bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord, is that the devotee should be free from all material contaminations and desires. That the devotee should be free from all material and contaminations and desires. So fortunately, that's not the starting point in devotional service. It's not the qualifications to start devotional service. Starting devotional service, it's understood that one has different contaminations and material desires, but by engaging in devotional service, those contaminations and desires will become cleansed. And so that's what's being spoken of here is the qualification for pure devotion, pure bhakti, very advanced bhakti. But the starting point is not that high criteria. But to be qualified as pure devotional service, one must be free from all material contaminations and desires. This freedom is called vairagya, or renouncement of material desires. One who engages in devotional service to the Lord according to the regulative principles is automatically freed from material desires, and in that pure state of mind, one can realize the personality of Godhead. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, he explains that process of becoming free from material desires. And the process, he explains, the whole process of bhakti yoga is to give us a higher taste. By engaging in devotional service, we get a higher taste, a higher pleasure that comes naturally. It's not artificially imposed. It's not that one artificially has to restrain. After being a devotee for a while and taking prasadam, etc., and chanting Hare Krishna, it's not that one has to forcibly restrain themselves from eating bhoga. You know, that the taste of prasadam is so wonderful that it's naturally attractive, and one loses the taste for at least those abominable things that we used to engage in. It's not like we have to restrain ourselves, when we walk by one of those, you know, fast food place or whatever, you know. It's just like there's a higher taste. So that higher taste is a sign of that cleansing of material desire. And as we stay in the process or in the fire of devotional service, it's sometimes described, and that fire of devotional service, that fire of devotional service gradually cleanses all the contamination in the mind and the heart. And that's what's referred to in this verse, that the devotee can be realized by the pure mind, free from all visible and invisible material contamination. So we have visible material contamination in our attraction for sinful activities or abominable things or whatever. Those things become, we restrict ourselves from engaging in those things. And also, through the process of devotional service, we learn the different process of keeping the body clean. That helps keep the mind clean, etc. So there's visible contaminations. In one sense, those are a little more easy to restrict oneself from. It's the invisible contaminations that we have in our mind, the desires that are still there for material enjoyment. That will become gradually cleansed through the whole process of devotional service. The personality of Godhead being situated in everyone's heart instructs the devotee regarding pure devotional service so that he may ultimately achieve the association of the Lord. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10 as follows: Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tvam yenamam upayanti te. To one who constantly engages in the devotional service of the Lord with faith and love. This is interesting how Prabhupada translates it here. It's just a tweak of a little different than the translation that we're familiar with in Bhagavad Gita. Here he says, the Lord certainly gives the intelligence to achieve him at the ultimate end. So that's one of our tenets of devotional service, to understand Krishna situated in the heart of every living entity, what to speak of in the heart of the aspiring devotee. Krishna situated in the heart of the aspiring devotees gives the intelligence how one can approach the Supreme Lord, gives one the inspiration to come closer to the Lord, gives one the inspiration to do different things. And and this way guides the devotee. And he is one of the invisible causes of guidance for us. He's situated in the heart. But if we train our eyes to look for his guidance and his encouragement in different ways, then that helps us develop that faith and trust that he's always there. Sometimes it's easy to see, and sometimes it's a little more difficult to see. But Kunti Devi, she gave She set a wonderful example there in way back in the beginning, the very first canto of the Bhagavatam in her series of prayers. She's saying, even in those difficult times, in fact, those most difficult times and challenges are most welcome by her, because they help her see Krishna's hand in her life. And so therefore, she takes the boldest step in the universe to pray for more and more calamities. Not because she's, what's the word, masochistic? You know, not because she wants to suffer per se, but that suffering leads her, forces her, encourages her to take shelter of Krishna and to take shelter of him and see his kind hand in her life. During those most difficult tests and trials and tribulations and anxieties that we're in, it's often, at that particular point, it's often very difficult to see and appreciate the Lord's quote-unquote kindness, his kind little slap, his kind little adjustment in our life. It's hard to see. But actually, by the spirit of going through those hard tests, over a span of your lifetime, you know, maybe the first test you think, why has Krishna abandoned me? And this and that, or why is he doing this to me? I'm trying to surrender to him, and here he's, you know, broke my leg, or whatever, you know, whatever challenge is there, you know, and now it's so hard to do that. But then, actually, when you look back on your life, and you look back on the trials and tribulations that you've been through, and you look back, maybe even doesn't even necessarily mean the trials and tribulations only, but even on the good things, what appears to be a chance, perchance, a chance meeting with somebody that led to taking a book, that led to this, led to that, so many things. Those things you see, oh, there's Krishna directing me in the heart in so many ways. So I've been recently listening to a few different devotees' explanation from how they came to Krishna consciousness. And it's just so amazing to hear the different things. In fact, there was one devotee was saying how he and his friend both encountered the devotees for the first time together. And his friend was very eager and anxious and enthusiastic and took up the process right away, joined the temple right away. And he, the person narrating the story, he said, I agreed with everything that I heard that the devotees say and everything that I read, but I was hesitant. I couldn't just surrender right away. So then a couple of weeks passed, and the friend that was in the temple called him and encouraged him to come to the Sunday feast. So he went, and I can't remember, might have been Los Angeles. Anyway, it was someplace, obviously. Comes to the Sunday feast, and it just so happened that Srila Prabhupada was there at the time, okay? So Srila Prabhupada was there at the time, and the person who was hesitant to surrender thought, I should see him. This is a great opportunity. Anyway, in the due course of that day, he was in Srila Prabhupada's rooms with a group of other devotees, and Prabhupada was handing rasgullas out to the devotees. So he eagerly went forward to get a rasgulla. And he said, as soon as I bit into that rasgulla, everything became clear, and I became convinced, and I stayed and joined the temple right there. Just that bite of that rasgulla. And so you can, you know, you know, 30, 40 years later, you might look back on that scene and you say, oh, what a nice little story. That happened by chance. That was a nice chance encounter and a nice real. But actually, he said, it was a miracle. It was a miracle that happened like that. And those miracles are happening in our lives, not all the time, but often are there, and we gloss them over by chance, or I'm making it up, or I'm exaggerating but they're there. Krishna's kind hand is in our life. And when we look for Krishna's kind hand in our life, what happens? You'll see it more often. Have I said that before? Yeah, I have. Anyway, when you look, but that's the thing, to train us to look for, you know, Krishna's kind hand in your life, and you'll see it. So then I had another experience relatively recent, a couple of weeks ago. Another devotee friend had been had some difficulty, had some, you know, major emotional whatever trauma in her life, you know, for the last few years, you know, and decided to go on another a more serious path, a different than what she was going on before, and it was difficult. And, you know, things were bumpy, the ride was bumpy, and she thought, oh, maybe I'll go and do a preaching program in this particular state. And every single time she packed her car to go to do this program where she had made some arrangements to maybe speak at a yoga club or something, I don't remember the specifics, but she had made some arrangements. Every single time there was something drastic happened, the car broke down, or somebody called and she couldn't go, and this and that, and it was blocked, in other words. That attempt to preach in a certain way was blocked. And just the other day, a huge opportunity presented itself before her. And now you can see, oh, now that's why it was blocked. Or, you know, because Krishna had another plan cooking on the slow burner back there, you know. And so we can take heart that, okay, there might be some difficulty in my life. Things might not be going smoothly or whatever. There's challenges here in my service or challenges in my mind or whatever. And I think it's the end of the world. But there's something there that Krishna's got for us, you know, planning for us. And the time factor, that's the time factor, the Shri time factor that there and will play out in due course of time, because Krishna is our ever-well-wisher. He's the original ever-well-wisher. And Srila Prabhupada's our parampara ever-well-wisher also, wanting all of those souls in different states of contamination and different states of traversing through this material world through repeated births and deaths, to give them, each one, the opportunity to take advantage of the situation that we have, that Srila Prabhupada has brought this Hare Krishna mantra, has given us the program, etc., etc., and by taking to the process with whatever sincerity that we can muster, and hopefully it's ever increasing sincerity, but however, Krishna's there guiding the individual soul. So this is part of the prayer that the sages are glorifying the Lord for. For you, you cannot be realized. Krishna, they're saying, Prabhupada's going to, in the next paragraph here, he's going to say, we can't realize the Lord in any substantial way except through love and devotion. Okay, here it goes in this last paragraph. One has to conquer the mind, and one may do it by following the Vedic rituals and performing different types of sacrifices. That's why they're there. The Vedic rituals, the performance of sacrifices, karma kanda, all of these different levels of realization are there to gradually bring people to higher and higher understandings, but they're not the all in all. Prabhupada says, the ultimate end of all those performances is to attain bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord. So the ultimate end, especially for those of us, myself, born in a Western background, it's kind of this process of yajna and sacrifice, and it's foreign, at least to the conditioning in this body, you know. It's hard to relate to. But Prabhupada's saying, and the whole thing is there, for a step-by-step gradual progression in the path of realization, not just an instant elevation to the highest level. No, one has to be cleansed and purified so that we can understand those things and gradually come to the highest level. Prabhupada says, without bhakti, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The original personality of Godhead, or his innumerable expansions of Vishnu, are the only objects of worship by all the Vedic rituals and sacrificial performances. Now, you can't get that understanding just by reading the Vedas itself, per se, you know, or just by hearing of the different incarnations of the Lord. You can't get that understanding unless there's bhakti, unless Srila Prabhupada is pointing out how all of those different innumerable expansions of the Lord and his different incarnations are all objects of worship, because they're bringing us to that the highest level of love for God, the personality of Godhead, who never leaves his devotees. He never leaves the living entities without a form of some form or other of self-realization, according to the level that they're at. Even they're at the darkest level of ignorance, there's still scriptural writings for people in the mode of ignorance. There's scriptural writings for people in the mode of passion, who are interested in what they're thinking is going to bring them happiness in the form of wealth, education, beauty, etc., etc. So that's where you're at. Okay, so do this, and gradually. You can take that gradual path. And Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya especially, is now seeing the degraded age of this Kali Yuga and the total lack of qualification for performing, you know, severe austerities, Vedic yajnas, this and that, other processes. And he's saying, okay, just take this mantra of three words. Samapriya is always very famous of saying, it's just three words. It's just three words. We can't forget them, you know. And that mantra which brings one to the highest level of understanding. So there's always hope. Any comments or questions so far? Corrections? Directions? Himavati Ji, and then Guru Prasad Ji.
I am trying to reflect on how can we conquer the mind through fire sacrifices.
Just say it again. How, when we come to...
We can conquer the mind through performance of fire sacrifices.
Well, the point is that it is possible. But in this age, now, our sacrifice to control the mind is the chanting of Hare Krishna. So we have that. In previous ages, those other processes were there and recommended because people had different caliber and capacity. And now our caliber and capacity is in a different level, a lower level. And so therefore, when we say sacrifice, we're thinking of a very formal performance with fire and yak. But sacrifice, devotional service is a sacrifice. Going on Sangirtan is a sacrifice. Chanting around, getting up every day and coming to chant, that's a sacrifice. So those sacrifices, yes, will conquer the mind.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Nanda. Your classes are always so inspiring. I have a story to share with Sharon.
Please.
One time, my husband was out on Sankirtan. He pulled up at his gas station, and I guess must have been in New Jersey where they still used to pump the gas. So it was a black body devotee came out, and he said, you're finished, sir. You can go. And he said, oh, I have something for you. My husband said, I have something for you. And he said, what? So he gave him a banana. And he said, this banana is so special. When you eat it, your life will change, you know. Of course, the preachers always say something. So he gave this boy the thing. And he said, if you want any more and you like it, you can come to the Hare Krishna temple. So the boy must have ate it. And he said, it must have been 5 or 6 years later, he was sitting in the temple room, and this devotee is telling a story. He said somebody had pulled up at the gas station.
Oh, really?
And had given me a banana. And he was right. He said, I've never tasted anything like it. And he said, I bought so many bananas trying to find that taste, and I couldn't. So I decided to go to the Hare Krishna temple.
Hare
and he
Krishna.
Became a devotee initiated.
So nice.
Prashadam Shukla. But that was just a side thing. You know, controlling the mind, you know, when I was younger, you know, we were living in New York, we went out in Sankirtan, in the cold, you know, the rain, whatever. And today, my mind is giving me so much trouble. The weather's a little cold.
That's so unusual. the mind's giving trouble. Not only you. I don't mean that. I don't mean it's you on you.
I know, but it seemed like worse. Like, I never thought of that. I got up in the morning, they said, you're going to Sankirtan. You went, came back, you were blissful. You didn't even think of the weather. You didn't think the body was tired. And now, you know, I think, oh, I made some advancement. I can get up. I can go out. Oh, I could come up with a million excuses why I shouldn't do this today. You know, it's just like dressing the DJs. I get up a little earlier. I said, I could come and do that. 5 more minutes I'll do, you know. So why is the mind so troublesome more? I mean, where's the advancement? Where's the purification?
It's a perfect example. Thanks, Guru Prasad. I mean, it's the nature of the mind. The nature of the mind is to bring you down. You know, the nature of my mind is to always find so many reasons why I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough. But our advancement is that in spite of all of that rumbling in the mind, we still go ahead and do what we can do, you know? It comes in different phases of life, you know, in a youthful energy, et cetera, et cetera. We have different, probably more passionate desires and stuff. In the dwindling stage, which a lot of us are in now, you know, it's a different kind of a challenge. And I don't really have, like, the super super duper answer. Maybe other people would want to add something to it, but it's the challenges that we go through in the different stages. Like in when you're under 20, you know, there's not that what we're experiencing now over 70. It's not what we experienced when we were under 20. It's a different, we had our challenges in a different way there, and now we have our challenges in a different way. But ultimately, hang in there. I don't have anything else. Do you want anyone to add to that?
Hare Krishna. So in my opinion, everything depends on association. I guess when you were younger, you were associating with the like-minded people.
Yeah.
As soon as you diminish your association, your determination diminishes too.
Good point.
That's my opinion.
Well, it's a practical application of it. Like, because for Guru Prasad and many others, it was the ashram, and we were surrounded by that enthusiasm and discipline also, you know, and those challenges. And that enthusiastic, you know, hearing that and having your breakfast cooked by somebody else and just having to go down to breakfast and this and that and so many things, that made it so much easier than now that we're in a different ashram and a different situation. It's a little more challenging. But I think Madhumati is going to shed some more light on everything.
No, I was just basically repeating, I was thinking that the same challenge about going out at that time, like you said, is much different now. So the challenge actually, you're talking about advancement, where did the advancement go? So thing is, because you have advanced, now you have a bigger challenge. So the challenge is not the same challenge. Actually, the challenge, the test is bigger. Because there is advancement, and now you have a bigger test, and I think the test is we are getting bigger and bigger tests till the real test comes of when we leave our body. So there is advancement. I guess that's the point I was making about your question. There is advancement. That's why you're having a bigger test now.
Thanks.
It's not the same test.
Thanks. As soon as you started to say that example, then I was thinking of how it's like the subtle. The gross, here this verse mentioned, from we had to become free from visible and invisible contamination. So the grosser the contamination, the more visible it is, the easier it is to do away with. The more subtle it is, the more difficult it is. And the example sometimes given is like the onion peel. You're peeling and peeling and peeling, and you've peeled away a lot, and there's still a bunch more, you know, layers to that, you know. Contamination, you could say, that contaminated desire. There's the subtle ones, and even in the structure of the universe, the the layers of material energy that are covering the universe, the gross layers, they're each one is 10 times thicker than the one previous, but the subtle ones, mind and tongue, they're huge. They're like, because they're out and 10 times thicker than the last five elements, they're huge layers that has to be. But as Madhumati pointed out, that's a sign of advancement, which Hare Krishna. There's one other point that I wanted to make. Does anyone have any other comments or this particular point? Okay, there's one other point that when I was reviewing this chapter and doing my best to prepare, I was remembering from the 16th verse is when Maitreya says, so the chapter starts off with Vidura, I think, asking for more information about more incarnations of the Lord. Anyway, so then Maitreya says in verse 16, thus seeing the earth merged in the water, Brahma gave his attention for a long time to how it could be lifted. So Prabhupada says in the purport there, this is a whole other point that I'm making here. According to Jiva Goswami, the topics delineated here are of different millenniums. Remember how we've heard that there's two incarnations of Varaha, the one where he lifts the earth, and the second one where he kills Hiranyaksha. So Jiva Goswami says these happened in different millenniums. The present topics are the Sveta Varaha millennium, and the topics regarding the Chakshusha millennium will also be discussed in this chapter. So I read that, and probably a lot of you read that also or heard it, and you just kind of like forget it about it or how it applies or where it applies. So in my notes, I was seeing where that different millennium is listed, and it is in text 31. So let me get to that. Hold on a second. In 31, that's where Lord Boar very easily took the earth on his tusks and got it out of the water. Thus he appeared very splendid. Then his anger glowing like the Sudarshan wheel, he immediately killed the demon Hiranyaksha, although he tried to fight with the Lord. So that's the clue. Isn't it interesting? I totally missed it. But when he kills Hiranyaksha, so Hiranyaksha, who's Hiranyaksha's mother? Diti, right? So Diti, she's not in that other millennium. She's in a different millennium. She's not even in that Manu. She's in the Chakshusha Manu. So there's, when Lord Varaha appeared, that was what? Remember? That was the beginning of creation, because Swayambhuva Manu was saying, well, you to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma said, I want you to create progeny and stuff. And he was very happy on Swayambhuva Manu's submissive attitude, because previously those Kumara boys didn't want to get married, and that kind of frustrated Brahma. So anyway, he was happy to get Swayambhuva Manu, who was eager to follow his father's instruction. Swayambhuva Manu, that's the first of the Manus. Then there's six more Manus: Swarochita, Uttama, Tapasa, Raivata, and then Chakshusha Manu. In the Chakshusha Manu, that's when Diti gave birth to Hiranyaksha in Hiranyakashipu. And it was just amazing. that's the clue. In his first appearance, Lord Varaha just lifted the earth. And now, another time he comes, he lifts and he kills Hiranyaksha. He couldn't have done that in Swayambhuva Manu because Diti hadn't been, she wasn't there. And Kratama, or whoever. And so it was in this other millennium, six millenniums later. So that's a long period of time. So that's how we have the Varaha, the Sweta Varaha, the white Varaha, and the Nila Varaha in this other millennium. And I just wanted to share that with you because... How did it sink? That was he, Professor Banks, what's his name? All I can remember is Professor Banks. He was saying that yesterday in his very spontaneously given class. it went off of orbit because of, you know, I don't know who did it. I don't know how it went off over at that time, but the oil and the this and the that, it has a balance and it fell. Lord Brahma experienced, he experienced lots of challenges in the beginning of the creation, you know? He created the Kumaras, and they didn't want to enter householder life. That was a little setback for him. So then Shiva comes out between his eyebrows, and then he asked Shiva to create progeny, who was very happy to do that, but that created a certain progeny with a certain mentality that was destroying the whole universe and even attacking Brahma himself. Lord Brahma said, okay, better you hold off on that and go on and meditate and purify yourself, because we don't need that now. So he had different challenges. He had many challenges. So he had this other challenge of... Yeah. And that's just a little Brahma with just four heads. Imagine if he had so many other millions of heads, how many more challenges you'd have to face. Hare Krishna. Anyway, yes.
There was one comment or question online. With the example of the Rasgul, is it not also continuing from devotional service started in lives before?
Sure. But how is it? Yes, things like that also can be there, you know? That's the instrument of remembrance, so the instrument of bringing you to that point of things that have been performed in previous lives, yeah. But it's still... can look at it as a miracle too, that was that simple thing. Thanks for reading those comments. Sometimes people type in questions that don't get read off, so appreciate that. Vegavati? I didn't tell you, but it was Danadhar Maharaj. Danadhar Maharaj. He was asking who ate the Rasgulla. Vega?
Hare Krishna. Just because there's a little extra time, I have a similar to the banana story.
Okay.
Sometime in the 80s, Swarga and I were sent out to collect money for Gitanagari.
Oh, how unusual.
We were selling paintings in malls, but we weren't allowed to say we were devotees because the 80s were weird, and devotees in malls had, anyway, whatever. So there we were in Evansville, Indiana. You can't preach. You can just... But we wanted to give people prasadam, so we didn't have time. We were working 7 days a week, you know. So we asked the temple, please send us some cookies, because we met nice people. Send us some cookies. They sent us a homemade loaf of bread. So we went and bought some candies, and we offered them. So we gave this guy a candy, and many people, we gave prasadam like that. And maybe a few months later, because we'd go back periodically, a few months later, we go back to the same mall, and this man comes up and he goes, that candy you gave me, it was the most amazing thing I'd ever had. I even went and bought the same brand, and it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So Krishna Prasadam, who knows, that glance, what it does.
Yeah. And you think of all the different ways that devotees have distributed prasadam, and not only just prasadam, but, you know, there's the temples and the organized preaching programs that come out of the temples, et cetera, which is wonderful. But then there's all the devotees doing on their own little things, somebody getting little clips of Prabhupada and putting them on the internet, you know, little two-minute, you know, sound bites, and then there's this one doing that, and then there's people like Samapriya and Dhruva a few years ago doing snow cones, you know, and army bases and different things, prasadam. You know, how many things people have done all around. And it will have its effect, and it is having its effect, even though things might be not drastically appearing that they're getting better. But okay, here's the last thing. I just was forwarded a clip yesterday of Prime Minister Modi offering aartik to Srila Prabhupada at the new, or the installation of the new temple in Mumbai, Nava Mumbai, Radha Gopinath, I think, or Radha Madan Mohan. Anyway, I can't remember the name of the temple. But anyway, and here's Prime Minister Modi offering Srila Prabhupada, you know, his first aartik, garlanding him and everything. And so... It's happening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you.